Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to the Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. What's so funny? My name is Josh, and I'm here as always with Captain Jack. What are you laughing over,
dude,
there, homie?
Okay, so Josh wanted to put in an alternate start to this episode, to where he goes, "Hey, you know what? I was just bopping in my car just a minute ago," and he just turns on.
Well, hold on. I mean, I still can.
Yeah.
So I was bopping.
You can share it with the people.
I don't care. I'll share it with the people. I was driving home, dude, and this came on, and I cranked it up unashamed. California. Oh, yeah.
Dude.
It's
to all our
such a bop.
To all our people in California right now.
Just California knows how to party.
They don't know how many people in California listen to this anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? If you're from California, shout out to you if you're from California, and let us know. Let us know in the comments of this episode when it goes up on the socials, because we appreciate you.
Yeah.
We're sorry you're from Cali, because I'm sure it's probably hard to be there right now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, absolutely.
Full rough. A little rough. The streets
I mean, we're in Washington. I don't know what we don't have much of a leg to stand on. Let's be honest.
Let's be honest. The thing that we got is just the scenery, okay? That's
we do
all
have the scenery. But California's got the beach, though, man. It's a nice beach. Like, P&W beaches aren't like
you have.
It's rocks. Let's be honest. It's rocks and needles.
Unless you go to like Ocean Shores, which is actually like a beach, but it's not really like a beach that you find in like LA or something.
No. So. California beaches are like, that is nice. If I could enjoy it without like the throngs of people, 100%. Yeah. Some nice warm ocean. Like, we don't know what warm water is in P&W. You go into the Washington Ocean or the Oregon Ocean, it's freezing. You're cold.
Yeah.
The only reason like you stay in it is because your body gets numb, and then you can enjoy it. You just got to get past that point of no return.
Yeah, seriously.
Anyway, Jack, my friend, we got stuff to do, man. We got stuff to talk about. You've got a fun topic today.
Oh yeah.
But before we hop into that, let's get to some of the business. And Jack, why don't you give us this week's Reformatory Cigar of the Week? What do you have for us, my friend?
Okay, friends, I messed up. Last episode, this was the last cigar of May is for Mystery Month. Mm-hmm. I was wrong. There's another week of May that I forgot in my mind.
One more.
I was already thinking June. So I'm already thinking ahead, trying to plan out cigars for ahead.
I would like, I'd like to say that, Jack, that's because you are such a businessman. You're so good at your job. You're so forward thinking and plan centric sure. that you're sure. you were already preparing yourself. So I see this as more of a quality than a fault.
Okay. We'll roll with that. Anyways.
Yeah.
We are so May's for so this is the last. This is the last cigar review for May's for Mystery Month. Mm-hmm. Cigars starting with the letter M next mm-hmm. month. I think the next 2 months, since it's June, July. I don't know. I'm going to have to figure out a July theme. But I think for June, we're going to continue kind of that cigars starting off with the letter J kind of idea. Mm-hmm. I don't have a clever May is for mystery. June is for whatever. I don't know. I'll think of something maybe. But anyway, May is for mystery. Last cigar in the May is for mystery kind of cigar reviews. This week's cigar is the Manzanita by Southern Draw. Have you heard of this, Josh?
Oh, dude, yes. Southern Draw is one of my favorite cigar makers.
Yeah. So the Manzanita is actually it's Spanish for apple, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So or little apple. So this cigar is actually a Toro sizing. And it's interesting. I don't think the name necessarily matches the flavor profiles, but we'll get to that a little bit. But the wrapper is a Habano wrapper. Binder's Habano. The fillers are going to be Corojo 99. So it's like a Corojo Habano kind of injector within that. It's a Toro. So it comes in Robusto Toro. It comes in all your typical sizings. Flavor profiles. So this is where it gets interesting. Core flavors that you're going to taste: hazelnut, kind of some dark chocolate, mm-hmm. and some cinnamon.
Okay.
Unless this is like a caramel apple.
It's like a holiday blend.
You know, unless it's like caramel apple, maybe I'll go for this, but this is definitely not apple. But yet again, you can't really get apple flavoring in cigar stuff. So it kind of has to, but apparently the tip is if you pair this with like root beer or like bourbon or a single malt scotch for all of you adults who are of age, because
of age adult.
Yeah. So, but yes, go ahead and try it with a root beer if you will.
Oh yeah.
This will be interesting. Anyway, Josh, I usually go to you. This is our constant game. Mm-hmm. Josh, what do you think the MSRP is on this guy?
On the Manzanita?
Mm-hmm. It's a Toro, remember.
Toro. I'm going $13.75.
A little bit on the lower side. It's,
man,
it's a little bit higher
now.
So it's anywhere between about $14 to $16 MSRP.
Okay. All right.
Somewhere around there. So,
okay.
But apparently, a lot of good things I'm hearing. High 80s, kind of low 90s ratings from across mm-hmm. the boards. The Toro sizing gives you a little bit more of that flavor profiles like I talked about versus Robusto sizing. So,
love it.
So that's the Southern Draw last cigar in the May is for Mystery Month. The Manzanita, if you will.
Sweet. Well, Jack, well done with pulling out the mystery box every single week of this month,
right?
And hitting us with some absolute bangers, much like California Love by Tupac.
It's true.
You are the California Love by Tupac of this podcast. Okay. I just want to let you know. You're greatly appreciated.
Okay.
That is the Reformatory Cigar of the Week, ladies and gentlemen, and you know what to do. Go and smoke to the glory of God. All right, Jack. So, in preparing for this episode, mm-hmm. we were discussing topics, and you said, hey, I've got an idea. We should talk about conspiracy theories in the local church. So, me being the prepper that I am, okay, not prepper in that way. I'm not. There's no bunkers, like episode prep, sermon prep. You know,
sure.
I'm a prepper because that's what that means. Mm-hmm. I immediately found every article that I could on Bigfoot, aliens, Chernobyl creatures,
Ancient aliens, not just normal aliens, ancient aliens.
And whether or not the moon landing was faked. And I am prepared thoroughly for this episode.
Sure. Josh, that's all great and everything, but that's okay. Probably not what we're going to talk about. But
you're killing me.
Yeah.
You're absolutely killing me.
That.
Fine.
I do.
If we're not talking about Bigfoot, which is a very PNW thing to talk about.
Yeah, it is.
What exactly are we talking about today, Jack?
All right. So I kind of ripped this off from another podcast who was talking about it. Apparently, it was supposed to be a podcast on their exclusive, their own little podluck that they have over there. So it's London Lyceum, which are some particular Baptist brothers of ours over there. But they have it on their like exclusive line or their exclusive channel called Hanover House, but they released it just as like a normal episode talking about like controversial like figures and kind of like talking heads starting conspiracy theories. I bring this up because we're living in the time, I think, right now where I feel like if you watch the news and if you're of a certain persuasion, basically anything can turn into a conspiracy theory if you think about it. Yeah. Especially with just general people in the United States right now. I feel like that's kind of the vibe right now. If there is a, I mean, this was a huge thing. Like when Tucker Carlson went over to like Russia and was like talking about all this stuff. And I'm like, I looked over to my wife and I'm like, okay, enlighten me on this. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, that's not really true. I think in a day and age where we have so many conspiracies come up, I think the thing that I wanted Josh and I to just have these conversations that we usually do about these things in the local church is just say, how do we deal with those? If that's all they do is post conspiracy theories on social media, how do we interact with them? How do we talk to them about things? How do we push them more towards being in fellowship with other people in the local church and kind of interacting that way versus just getting siloed off? So I wanted to start off the conversation that and then just ask Josh, if you were to deal with, because Josh is an elder now, if you had somebody who is constantly posting just conspiracy theory or just misinformation on like any social media platform that you know of who is a member, how would you like, what would your steps be to do in that case of like talking to that member or just like, I don't know, just interacting with them?
Yeah. I think first and foremost, it's a different conversation versus is this person just posting this like on their social media, or are they campaigning throughout the local church?
Yeah.
Right. Now, one could make the argument that if this person is going to the church and they're friends on social media, then it is a form of campaigning, you know, because your other members see their posts. You know, I understand that. I do think that there is a distinction between posting something on your own social media where people have the ability to unfollow, right, or block or whatever they need to do versus this is something that's coming up in small groups, Bible studies, right? How, because look, let's be honest. We all know that person. We all have this friend, right? Who is in,
we all have a member.
We all have the members, people. Right?
Let's be
right.
Honest. And if I you, have and one if you, right now.
Yeah. And if you can't think of one, it's probably you, right? Who, you know, wherever you are in scripture, it seems to somehow be diverted back to usually modern day occurrences, right? Current events, right? Yep. And there's a propensity with these types of individuals, and it's something we all have to be on guard against, to filter scripture through current events instead of filtering current events through scripture, right? And that's a big stumbling block for a lot of people. I would say a lot of more politically minded people in the United States today is because like we've talked about on this podcast before, everything that you're getting through social media, through news outlets, through newspapers and podcasts, it is so much of it, I'd say the vast majority of it, is through a socio-political lens. It's through a worldly lens, right? Yeah. It's through a non-eternal lens, right? Let's use that language, right? It's not coming from a place of kingdom thinking, of thinking things through and based off of scripture, but through a very temporal understanding, right? And that has an effect, because when you are completely saturated in that environment, you begin to pick up bad habits, right? Mm-hmm. And you pick up bad habits in terms of how to interpret scripture, how to interact with people who disagree with you, right? How to interact with your other members or your elders. You know, if you start down this road, you know, often these type of members want the sermons to take a certain type of flair, right? Yeah. Or the focus of small groups or Bible studies to take a certain turn. You know, why aren't we preaching on this? Why aren't we discussing this or this or this? And the conversation has to be at a certain point, because it's not in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's not what we're called to preach. It's not what we're called to make our emphasis specifically on the Lord's Day and when we open the Bible to learn and to seek truth, right? It's not that we're not supposed to engage in those things, but how we engage with them is important, right?
Yeah.
So I'd say first and foremost, Jack, it for me, when dealing with an individual who is of that mindset, one of the primary conversations is, where do you find your identity as a Christian? Mm-hmm. Because where you find your identity and how you are, what you're using to judge that, it's going to manifest itself one way or the other in your life,
yeah.
Right? And what I have found is individuals, right, who are of that, you know, maybe more political mindset or are constantly talking about the conspiracy theories and things like that, there is a question, and I would say a misconception or a lack of understanding of what their true identity is. Mm-hmm. And often they're viewing themselves, their calling, what they're supposed to be doing through an American, a Western, or a political understanding versus you're a Christian first and foremost.
Sure.
And then that affects how you interact with your culture, not the other way around. So I've often found that those relationships are often reversed, and mm-hmm. and it results in, you know, I would say more times than not, that kind of infatuation, if you will, with politics or you know, the more conspiracy theory, you know, posts and stuff like that. So
yeah, I think one aspect, this may be why we're living in such like a time, because I feel like right when COVID hit,
mm-hmm.
that's when I feel just like the cascade of you didn't know what to really believe in.
100%. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Basically it was like choose your own adventure of who you want to listen to at that point.
It was. Yeah.
I even had to sift through certain doctors and certain people that I was talking that I looked at and then would bounce off of other people and then would go back and forth and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, then those people would change.
Sure.
You know, and like the people that were saying one thing, you know, 4 weeks later, they're saying the exact opposite. And then it's like, oh, masks are mandatory. And then, oh, masks actually make things worse. And it's like, well, I don't, it's a different rules every month. You know what I'm saying?
I thought one of the, I mean, we live in Washington State, which was, I mean, basically the kind of epicenter of when COVID started to happen.
That's our claim to fame.
Yeah. You're welcome, America.
You're welcome, America.
So I feel like for us, I feel like the government took, obviously nobody was a fan of our governor, right? Nobody is a fan of our governor at all, like during that time. And there was, I felt like there was always a certain amount of new, fresh conspiracy theories that would pop up as to, oh, the state of Washington bought this, you know, this hotel they're turning it into a concentration camp. And I'm like, where are you getting this from? Like, just like stuff like that. Like, how do we, I don't know. Do we think that, cause it would be, I feel like conspiracy theories would get more fuel if it was topical preaching.
Mm.
You know, if all you were
That's
doing,
a great point actually that I hadn't considered.
If all you were doing is topically preaching about stuff, I feel like there would be more of and I think they brought this up on Hanover House too a little bit. If you're topically preaching, it would be easy to kind of start cultivating the conspiracy theory kind of vibe because that's all you're talking about, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think that our churches preaching expositionally through books of the Bible help us kind of push back against what the culture, and I feel like conspiracy theory stuff now is just part of the culture. Like it's now chic. It's now chic to be like a conspiracy theorist. Like it's not really, you know, out there or anything like that. Like if you're a conspiracy theorist, like, okay, join the other thousands of you. It's not like you're part of dozens anymore. You're now like just the mainstream now.
Right. Right.
But does I don't know. Maybe we can riff on this a little bit, but do you think expositionally preaching through stuff helps out a little bit? It's not going to completely extinguish things as far as conversations go, but do you think it helps focus us back on the word and where we're at in scripture versus something else?
I mean, I think it 100% does. And I think that's a fantastic point is like when you preach exegetically, expositionally, you have as the core tenet of that, right? What does the word of God say? And the main point is where are we in scripture right now, right? And you're taking scriptures, I think seriously in that you're making them primary within the Lord's day and you're making them primary within the service, right? Again, we've talked about topical versus exegetical before. You know, I think there are times to do topical and I think topical can be beneficial, right? But to Jack's point, this is why you don't, I think, have a constant model of topical, because there's too much man in there. There's too much opinion.
Yeah.
We need the word of God to be central in our preaching. And one of the, if not the best way to do that is to preach expositionally, right? And exegetically, right? We talk about eisegesis and exegesis, right? Mm-hmm. Eisegesis is so much easier with topical preaching because there's not that framework, that structure that's built into the sermon, that this is the passage that you are in right now. And your job as the preacher is to exegete this passage properly, right? Yeah. When you preach expositionally, exegetically, it forces you to do that. This is what the scriptures say, and we're going to stick here. So no matter what's going on in the culture, we are bound by the authority of scripture. Now, scripture speaks to many things that go on in our culture. In fact, it speaks to, in one way, shape, or form, either directly or indirectly, it speaks to everything that goes on in our culture.
Yeah.
And it gives us the ability to know how to navigate, how to think, and how to talk about it, right? And when you preach exegetically, it's so much easier to handle the things that come at you in the culture because you're not bound by, oh, you know, I got to come up with a, you know, 4-week topical understanding of COVID restrictions or things like that. We go to the word of God. What does the word of God say? Preach what the word says. Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a fantastic point that I think you do see. I think there are dots to be connected there between churches that preach primarily topically and perhaps an infatuation with more political minded thinking. I think those dots connect. I really think they do. And look, it's not that you can't be imbalanced preaching expositionally. Of course you can. You can preach verse by verse and still infuse your opinion into the text.
Yeah.
Very easy to do. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's not that, you know, preaching verse by verse right? And with exegesis and not eisegesis, it's not foolproof for eisegesis, right?
Yeah.
You can still infuse yourself into that text if you want to. But I think it provides better guardrails.
Yeah. I think of like, this is probably a super big extreme, but, gosh, what's his name? He's Greg Locke. Do you know who I'm talking about? Dude.
Well, no, he's Apostle Greg Locke.
Oh, yeah. Now. Yeah. Now.
Let's put respect on the man's name. He's an apostle.
But I feel like that.
Him and his wife.
Yeah. His wife's now one too?
They brought them both on stage.
Oh, wow.
It was an apostolic installation service.
Wow. Okay.
Which I didn't know we could do that. I mean, I'm just going to start petitioning.
I think of guys who have basically mixed faith in with conspiracy theory, like he's the top of the list.
He is out there, dude.
He is the head honcho of basically, I think, not only conspiracy theory stuff that he says on stage, but just outright, I would say, slander and gossip that he says. I think the stuff that he has says on stage, but I'm wondering if that lends itself, and this is where I don't want to go. I don't want to say like, oh, if you're of this denomination, then you'll tend to lean into gossip and slander and conspiracy theory. But don't you think there's some way in which guys like that who just think that there's demons everybody kind of lend themselves to some sort of conspiracy theory, if you're thinking along that line theologically?
I picture how like Sproul would answer that. You know, he'd be like, sure. Of course, like theology matters, right? Good theology matters, and bad theology has consequences.
Yeah.
And yeah, so yes, and yes, and amen, it does. Bad theology will have bad consequences. And when your theology is messed up, your doctrine of who God is messed up, your doctrine of law and gospel is messed up, you're going to see incorrect application. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would 100% agree with that. If you're in a denomination, you know, where the core tenets of the theology are just not true,
yeah,
you're going to have more than like you're going to have more consequences there than a denomination that has correct theology, right? Now again, you have good and bad churches in both, but yeah, doctrine matters and bad theology hurts people.
Yeah, I think one area that I wanted us to talk about too is like we both circle in men's ministries and do a lot of stuff with men's ministries in our churches. And I'm wondering how we would go about talking to younger men about being obsessed with, like, if you see a younger man and you follow him on social media and all you see is him posting stuff with either like conspiracy theory or misinformation, how would we go about talking to that certain person, depending upon that situation, knowing that they're a younger guy in the local church. They're obviously going down that path. They may or may not be a member, but they're at least attending and they're starting to get plugged in. How would we go about interacting with them about maybe those things?
Yeah, I would say be very wary of men who want to influence you without investing in you. That's what social media does.
Yeah,
there's a lot of influencing and there's no investing, right? So you have these individuals with large platforms that do a lot of influencing. But at the end of the day, like Jack, we've talked about on this podcast, they aren't the ones at your kitchen table.
Yeah,
they aren't the ones in your living room. They aren't the ones investing in you. Right. So I would say to this young man and or young woman, right, your local pastors, your local church pastors are supposed to be that for you. The thing that you are looking for on social media, the guidance that you're looking for, how do you, you know, the wisdom that you're looking for, that's supposed to be your pastors. That's what pastors are for. And that's what God gave them to you for. Right. Because they, if they're doing their job correctly, They are going to take they're going to point you to the Word of God, and they're going to show you how the Word of God applies to your life, because they are in a position to not just influence, but to invest, because they are there for you to care for your soul, to care for you as an individual. And they're going to take these truths of Scripture and they are going to walk with you through them. Put so much more stock into that versus the individuals on social media that just want to influence. So there's a lot of other conversations, but that would be one of the primary ones, is be very careful with people who want your influence but don't want to invest in you.
Yeah. I was just I think I've had this situation before. I think at our previous church I was at, where a guy was just posting nonstop about stuff. Mm-hmm. But yet when it came to me coming up and talking to him, he would just like cower. Mm. Or he wouldn't want to interact with me. Mm. And I'm like, huh? And I'm just, I don't know. I would say that it's interesting to me that people would invest so much time and energy on social media, but they don't want to fellowship with their brothers in like a Bible study or in like a book study or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that, I mean, I can understand a deep spiritual understanding of why that is. Mm-hmm. But I think to another degree too, I think more of our culture is pushing this very much lone wolf masculinity on younger guys, of like, you got to go out there and do 100%. It yourself, and nobody, no, you can't lean on anybody else, and don't trust anybody kind of mentality.
Yeah,
I see that kind of a little bit leaning more into things lately. But yeah, I wonder if it's just for the sake of, like, I find, going back to our original, you know, talking point of like identity. Mm-hmm. I wonder if people just see themselves more in their identity on social media because they have anonymity to a certain degree.
Oh, yeah.
Versus in the local church. You can get disciplined. Let's be honest about this. Like, if you are a member of a local church and you gossip and you slander and you do certain things, like, there's no doubt about it. Like, I would start to seek after church discipline for certain people who did that.
Yeah.
I think it's a difference, though. So it's interesting because we do have a representative of the Washington State Legislature in our congregation. I think it's different when you start talking about political policies and the ramifications of those political policies versus what is and what may not be happening.
Sure.
It's always interesting to get her perspective sometimes when I, you know, when people interact with her and talk to her a little bit about stuff. But
yeah,
I think that's a different case versus people just, they heard stuff from somebody from their grandma's brother's cousin.
Right.
And somehow, you know, we're getting detention centers in America now or something like that for people who do X, Y, and Z. So,
yeah. Well, and I think, you know, something you mentioned, I think, and it's probably a good place to close, is, you know, social media promises an individualistic identity. You can be whoever you want on social media.
Yeah.
Right. Because you're not accountable to anybody. But that's not what it means to be a Christian. Mm-hmm. There's no individual identity.
Yeah.
With the followers of Christ, you are unified to Christ as a slave to righteousness, as a brother of the Savior, as a child of the King. And you are not just saved from sin, but you are saved to a people. Mm-hmm. That is your identity, Christ and his people, right? We need that understanding when it comes to how we interact and how we, I would say, engage with the culture, is that you are not engaging as a one-man army. Mm-hmm. You're not engaging as a soldier of one. Yeah. You are engaging as an individual that is part of a greater people, the people of God. And you are called to be an ambassador to the King. And that affects your speech, your conduct, your motives. Everything about you is filtered through that, right? So social media has a great effect, especially on young folks, because it promises them that individualism that culture says you need to have. Mm. But Christianity is, I would say, the exact opposite of that. We are saved to a people. Yeah. We are saved to a savior. And it's countercultural because, I mean, the culture is counter to scripture and it's counter to God.
Yeah.
Right. We're not meant, and we weren't created to be lone wolf Christians. We were made for community. We were made to worship, because in that is that accountability. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's why we need to be encouraging young people, and I mean, not just young people, but I think especially young people, because of the way that social media, I think, specifically targets them.
Sure.
You need to put so much more stock and importance in being with the real community of believers versus the fake community that is shown online.
Yeah.
Because that's where you're getting your accountability, your encouragement, your conviction. All of that is coming from the body, right? Mm-hmm. It's coming from obviously the word of God as the authority, but held together through the people of God. And that's the point of that's one of the points of the church. So I think it's a great point you brought up. And I think, again, that's the whole reason this podcast exists, is mm-hmm. we want to be encouraging the centrality of the local church in the life of the believer, because when that is made central in your life, all of the political pop-up stands that want to take your attention, all of the conspiracy theories that want to take your attention, all of the social movements that want to take your attention, they are put into great perspective when they are filtered through the scriptures and filtered through what is my job as a Christian in this Vanity Fair that I live in on my way to the celestial city. Mm-hmm. It's the perfect analogy, and that's why it pops up in this podcast all the time.
Yeah.
So, and that's what the local church is for.
Yeah. Well, I think Big Eva has sung, sir.
I think she has.
Every time you pull out John Bunyan, any time of reference to Pilgrim's Progress, I'm like, yeah, I think we're finishing up right now.
Yeah. I can't help it, dude. I can't help it.
It's true.
He's one of the best.
It's true.
He's one of the best. I mean, there's very a reason true. Spurgeon loved, he bled Bunyan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. 100%. All right, Jack. Well, why don't you get us out of here, my friend?
Folks, if you appreciate Josh and I's attempts at making the local church central to the believer's life, even when that person may be deep down in the hole of conspiracy theory, you can follow us on the dumpster fires that are conspiracy theories.
Yes.
That are dissociable.
Conspiracy theory factories.
yes. You can follow us at on the Metaverse, the Facebook, if you will, the Instagram goes well with chocolate marshmallow, or the always dumpster fire. That is the sociable, formerly known as Twitter X, at the tag at Reformatory Pod. You can drop us episode ideas, questions that you might have for us, anything along those lines through direct message to us on those avenues. Like I said, at the tag at Reformatory Pod. Josh, you may tell the people how they might support our endeavors here on the Reformatory.
That's right, sir. Well, there are many ways you can support the Reformatory. If you're a longtime listener and no-time reviewer, we would greatly appreciate, if you're listening on Apple, to give us a little 5 stars for 5 solas, write us a little review. We'd really appreciate it. It helps get the podcast out to more people so people can be encouraged to make their local church central in their lives. We have a YouTube, so if you want to not only listen to this, but watch this podcast and look at Jack and I's
watch these ugly
Reformed Baptist mugs of ours, you can do so at your own peril. You can head on over to YouTube, Reformatory Podcast, just search for that, like, comment, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications, share the episode with a friend, we'd greatly appreciate that. Last but not least, we have a Patreon, exclusive content, we call it the Podluck, and it's where all the bonus episodes go. You want to hear what Jack and I really think? You want to hear us be old, crotchety old men, being grumpy about movies and lack of creativity in TV shows? You want some cigar talk, some tobacco talk, all the good things? Well, that's over on the Podluck. And the link is in the description of this episode. Click on that for a $5 holla, $5 a month. That's all it is. And you too could become a Patreon supporter. And our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next episode of The Reformatory. California. 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 California.